I'm going to be focused on verse 27 to 30. I'm going to read again verse 27 to 30. I'm reading from NIV. It says, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Nineteen seventy-nine was a very important year in the history of Peru. 1979, the first census in my country was in 1979. The percentage of evangelicals in Peru in 1979 was only 0.3%, less than 1%. 1979 was also an important year, not only because it was the first census in Peru, but also because the terrorist movement called the Shining Path, one of the worst in the whole world and the worst in South America, started the civil war in Peru in 1979. It was a bloody war for 14 years up to 1993 when the government measured the number of people that were killed during that 14 years. It was around of 77,000 people. 77,000 during 14 years. 2009, we have another census in Peru, just 3 years ago, 2009. After the 1979, the figures and the numbers in evangelicals in Peru had changed. Now the percentage was 13%. So the number of evangelicals from 0.3% to 13% in years. How come? How is that possible? And something that the government forget to mention was that over that 14 years of 200 pastors, Christians, 200 people like me that were not afraid of the gospel. I still have memories when I was 8 years old praying with my grandma, uncle, who went to the mountains to preach the gospel. Why is this Jesus so important that someone is willing to put in risk his life to preach the gospel? And I think that is the reason, because of the gospel has grown a lot in my country. And the main reason was persecution. Generally, always in the countries, in the places in persecution, the gospel grows a lot. The blood of the martyrs of the sin that destroyed me when I why people is not willing anymore to give everything for Jesus? Why is that so many people call themselves Christian but they don't live as Christians. Why is I had this idea on my mind about England like 200 years ago and Wesley's and all these people willing to go overseas and giving their life, and when I came it was a complete different reality that I read in the books. What happened? In which moment, when people have forgotten that following Christ means putting your cross on your shoulders and following him every day with sacrifice? Whatever happens, verse 27, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of Christ. And I will point out 3 points in the passage. Paul was in jail when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Probably he was in Rome by the year 62, in jail, writing this letter. And he said, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Literally, he's saying, the only important thing, the only thing that is really important, it doesn't matter if I die in prison or if I am being relieved, it doesn't matter if I am with you or the only thing that is important is that you conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. That is the only thing important, that you may conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. It is an imperative. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. And what does it mean, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel? I really like a movie called Saving the Private Ryan. Probably you have seen Saving the Private Ryan. So basically, Tom Hanks is going to in the Second World War, and he has to find this soldier called Ryan. And probably if you have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. And he found Ryan, but at the end, Tom Hanks, that have to find Ryan, he died. And when he's dying, he looked at Ryan and said, deserve it. Live worthy of it. And that's exactly the same idea that Paul is talking here. The grammatical construction and the word that Paul used here is the same that Paul used in Acts. In Acts 23, verse 1, he's giving his farewell to the church in Ephesus. And he's saying to them, maybe you will not see me again, but I have conducted myself. And he uses the same words, in a manner worthy of the gospel, or with clean conscience. Why is it so important? Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. It is easier to be a Christian here at church, isn't it? Everything is nice. It's a nice building. Everyone is smiling. Welcome. It is easier to live the Christian life inside this building. Everyone looks so nice. Everyone is smiling. And every one of us looks so holy. But the proof of our Christian life is not in this building. The proof of our Christianity is not Sunday morning. The proof of our Christianity is when you go out of this church. How do you live your life at the school? How do you live your life with your wife, with your husband, with your kids? Are you living worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul literally says here, the word that he used for worthy, living in a manner worthy of the gospel, is a Greek word, literally living as a citizen, as a worth citizen. And this word only appeared 2 times in the New Testament. And the 2 times are in Philippians. That appears when Paul says in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. The normal phrase that Paul uses to refer to the Christian life is a completely different word, peripateo in Greek. He's using a completely different. And when I was looking, why Paul is using a different and unusual word here, and something just come out from my mind when I was reading the commentaries. Paul is writing to the church in Philippos. People in Philippos were really proud about being from Philip. The city of Philippi was found 3 centuries before Christ by a general called Philip. And the colony in Philippi, they were so proud of being a Roman colony. Even they have coins that say Colonia Augusta Philippi. It's something like this. Imagine that you have your own coins here in Tonbridge in Wiltshire, and the coin says Citizens of Wiltshire, Tonbridge, the best county in England. The best county in England. So something like that. They were really proud of being from Philippi. Oh, yeah, you are, but I'm from Philippi. I am better. Because that was the main production of gold come from Philippi. It was a city with a lot of history that has conquered. So they were really proud from being from this city. They have all the rights as a Roman, like a Roman. They were proud of being of Philippi. A world citizen. But Paul is referring here not to be proud of being from Philip, but to be proud of being a citizen of heaven. Maybe you are proud of being English, or maybe you are proud of not being English. Well, I think most of people here are English. Maybe you are proud of supporting Man United or City like me. Maybe you can be proud about being intelligent, or about have money, or about a lot of different things. But Paul is saying here that you should be worthy. You should live according to the heaven standards, and not to these earthly standards. Live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens, verse 27, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Worthy of the gospel of Christ. Literally, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that has its base in Jesus. Live in a manner of this gospel. I was a couple of weeks ago, it down on Monday, and I say, I was thinking, why I feel down? And I got my list, and I was checking. Okay, I have done my devotional, yes. I have done this, yes. I have done this, yes, yes. I have committed some sins, no. And I was checking everything. And then I realized what I'm doing. My joy is depending from the things that I do. All the things that I don't do, my joy is depending of me and not of the gospel. Paul is saying that the base of everything, the base of living worthy of Jesus, the base is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where does your joy come from? Does it come from your performance, or does it come from the gospel? The way that you see yourself, it comes from yourself or from the gospel? Who you really are, who defines you, is the gospel of Jesus? Because if your joy doesn't come from the gospel, then living worthy of the gospel will be a heavy task instead of a joy. Living worthy of the gospel comes from the gospel, has its base in the gospel of Jesus. And what is the gospel? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Probably all of you, you have been in church for a while, have heard about the gospel. Frank Sinatra is a really good singer. I mean, I really like Frank Sinatra. And there is a very popular song by Frank Sinatra called I Did It My Way. Have you heard that song? And now the end is near. I'm not a very good singer, but I Did It My Way. A lot of people think that living in my way is the right way to live. But actually, living in my way leads a lot of people to hell. If you live in your way, it's completely opposite to the gospel of Jesus. I did in my way. If you do in your way, you are living completely opposite of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel of Jesus is doing the things not according to your way, but according to the way of God. And that is a complete difference of what Frank Sinatra is singing in that song. A Christian, a truly Christian, don't do the things that they do according to their own way. A Christian lives according to the standards of the gospel. And what are the standards of the gospel? Are shown in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. The example of Jesus Christ. Humble. Humble. Helping. Living a holy life. Why do they do? What do you do when nobody else is looking at you? What do you do? How do you behave? Are you living according to your ways? Or are you living according to the ways of Jesus? Whatever happens, the only thing that is really important is that you may live worthy of the gospel. Verse 27. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. In verse 27, Paul tells us what to do. Live worthy of the gospel. Then he tells us how to do it. Striving together for the gospel. I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Standing firm. Paul is literally referring here to a military term. Fighting, standing firm, like a soldier, striving together in one spirit. And this word, striving together, literally fighting, again, is a word that is normally used in a certain context, and the context is gladiators. So probably you have seen movies about gladiators, isn't it? This gladiator fighting to each other. But there is a special way that the gladiator fights together. Basically, when they have to find some animals or some group of gladiators and another group of gladiators, they usually fight shoulder to shoulder, and they cover the people that is beside him. They defend as a group together. So Paul is referring that the only way that they are going to endure in the middle of their persecution is fighting together, striving together. If the Lord is going to do something through this church, it will be only if you stand together. It will be only if you fight together for the sake of the gospel. You cannot do anything alone. We are a church, the church of Jesus. We must fight together. We must strive together for the sake of the gospel. In one mind, in one spirit, these people were suffering persecution. Maybe you are suffering in this morning too. Who were persecuted then? Who were persecuted? Apparently, the people that were persecuting these Philippians were Gentiles. There was no Jewish colony in Philippi. We see in Acts 16 when Paul goes to Philippi, he didn't find a synagogue. Therefore, there were no Jewish colony there. So all these people were Gentiles. And they were suffering persecution from other Gentiles. Maybe not physical persecution, but they were suffering some kind of discrimination, maybe in their jobs, some kind of discrimination in the community. But they were suffering persecution. And maybe you are suffering in this morning for being a Christian. You are suffering in your job. Maybe you are losing a friendship. Maybe you have conflict with your children or with your parents or with your husband or with your wife. And you are suffering for the sake of the gospel. Maybe you are not suffering physical persecution, but for the sake of the gospel, you are suffering. And you know what is Paul talking here, because you have experienced that kind of persecution. If you are living, if you are breathing in this morning, you are going to suffer. Jesus Christ, when he took the bread and gave the cup to his disciples, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." And the new cup, the cup that Jesus Christ take, was the wrath from the Father coming upon him. If you are breathing in this morning, you are going to suffer. Some people suffer because of their own sins and then rebel against God, saying, "God, why did you allow this? Why did you allow this?" And some people suffer and God changed completely their character. The next time when you suffer, you have the opportunity to decide if you are going to glorify God in the middle of your suffering or if you are going to rebel against him. Striving together for the sake of the gospel. I used to work with my grandfather. My grandfather has a big garden, a really big garden. And when I was a teenager, I used to go every Sunday and to take out the weed and all these bad plants that grow really fast. Every Saturday, when I was a teenager. But I remember that, I didn't remember the reason, but for some reason, I didn't go to my grandfather's field for like a 3 months, something like that. And the next time when I visit my grandfather, when I work to work in his field, all these small seeds that it was really easy to just took with my hand and take out of the ground, have now grown was like this after 3 months. So I need to take some tools and remove all the ground and take it out. And it was really hard work. And when we strive together for the sake of the gospel, it's something like that. It's not only striving together, but it's also striving and fighting against sin in our life. Sin is like a small root, a small weed. If you don't kill it when it is small, it will grow. And there is a point that you will become a slave of sin. And maybe you are a slave in this morning. You are doing things that you don't want to do, but you cannot make yourself free from this. Jesus said, if the Son of Man makes you free, you will be truly free. John Piper says in one of his books, when it comes to killing my sin, I don't sit and expect for a miracle. I act the miracle. I don't sit and waiting, oh Lord, do something. I do something. You have to. You must to do something. Holiness doesn't come just like that. The Lord works in our life, but we have to pursue holiness. Paul encouraged us to pursue holiness. Striving together for the sake of the gospel. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had. I now hear that I still have suffering for the sake of the gospel. Suffering for the sake of the gospel. Most of people from Philippi came from a pagan background. And they have this idea about God. God is like a Santa Claus in Christmas. Basically, if I get something to God, God will give me something back. Therefore, if I give all my offerings to God, God will not allow me to endure suffering. It was a kind of old prosperity gospel, something like that. And Paul knew that the Philippi thing thought in that way. And he deliberately wrote this letter and these verses thinking on that. Look at me. I'm serving God, but I am suffering. I'm serving God, but I am suffering. And some people have this idea about God. And maybe some people have other gods apart from God. The God of materialism in our culture, the God of education, all these different things, the God of beauty, of youth. These people have this idea about God. And Paul says, if you are suffering, that is a blessing from God. What? If you are suffering, this has come from God. Paul, are you really sure what you're saying here? Why? Why do you want to suffer? It doesn't make sense. But the purpose of suffering is given in verse 3. So you have your Bibles there. Come to verse 3. Sorry, chapter 3. Chapter 3. I'm going to read chapter 3 from verse 7 to 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. It says, but whatever was to me profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have loved all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and suffering. becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to know. Of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. And there is something special about suffering and knowing Christ. God used suffering to make us closer to him. God, before the eternity, before the world was found, he chooses to suffer in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, he created man knowing that he was going to suffer in the person of Jesus. He didn't avoid suffering. Jesus Christ embraced his cross suffering. And he is inviting you to embrace your cross of suffering. If you want to see the kingdom of God like me, the Lord will call you to make a sacrifice. For some of you will be to go to the mission field. For some of you will be even to give your life literally for the sake of the gospel. For some of you will be to give your money, to give your time. My grandmother is 70 years old. She cannot go to the jungle. She cannot go to the Andes because she is old now. But I can. But I know that she prays for me. I know, I'm very sure that this old lady prays for me every morning and every night. And I know that she's praying for me. And I know that I'm still young and strong. And I can go to these places. And maybe you feel a bit old for doing missions. Maybe you feel that your time has passed and now you are just waiting for the retirement. Maybe you are just waiting to see Christ. But you can still do a lot of things even if you are old. Caleb was 80 years old when he took that mountain. He was 80. You still can do things for the Lord. The hope in Christ is not only that Christ has done things in the past. The hope is that Christ is going to do things in the future. He is going to do stuff in the future. He is going to come again. He is going to establish his kingdom on earth. He is going to do that. And if you are old, you can pray for mission. You can pray. There is a battle out there. The gospel is reaching countries, but there is a spiritual battle. And you can pray if you cannot go there. You can give your money. If you cannot go there, give with sacrifice and sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul was suffering in a jail. Maybe you are not suffering in a jail in this morning. Maybe you are suffering from an ill. Maybe you are suffering because you have your husband who is not a Christian. And it's really difficult to live with him. My dad is not a Christian. And my mom is a Christian. And I know how difficult it was for her to live with him. I know how difficult it was for me to live with him. But in some ways that I don't understand, the Lord has used that for the sake of the gospel. The first time when I did missions, I was 22. I went to the poorest place in Peru called Pausa in Ayacucho. There with a man that was 9. There was no calefaction. It was really high in the Andes, 13,000 feet. And I was ill there. There was no electricity, cold water all the time. And I remember that I got ill. It was 14th of February, St. Valentine's Day. And I was there in this room, just with a can of tuna and some biscuits for the day, with almost no money. And I asked myself, what am I doing here, Lord? What am I doing here? I'm going to die here. And nobody will care. Nobody is going to write a book. I'm just a Peruvian. Nobody will care. Nobody will make a movie. If I were American, maybe. But I am Peruvian. Nobody cares. Please, Lord, heal me. I want to give my youth for you. Well, I'm still young. I want to go to these places because I know that one day I will not be able to do so. I know, Lord, that one day, if you give me grace, I will be old and I will not able. But while I'm still young, I want to go to these places and preach the gospel. Please help me. Heal me. And maybe you have feeling that way too. Maybe you are not going to the mission field because you are old. Maybe some people here, or maybe some of your children will go. Embrace the Christ, the cross of Jesus. Embrace the suffering that he has put before you and live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only important thing. If you can remember only one thing from me, only one thing from this morning, only one thing from this sermon, is this: live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, for everything you have done in Jesus. And although, Lord, I don't understand many things, and I know, Lord, that you are building your church and your kingdom, and I don't understand your ways, Lord, but I know that it's through suffering, to sacrifice, that your church will stand on earth. And I pray, Lord, that the people here in North Bradley may understand that they may support his pastor. They may give their life preaching your gospel, don't know in a different country, but here in England, living worthy of you in holiness and in love for each other, striving together as one for your glory. Please, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.